The title of today's message is The Wedding Feast and the Rehearsal Dinner. Let me just lay the scriptural foundation of where this message is coming from. It's in Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to go over verses 1 through 12. It reads like this: The kingdom of heaven is like 10 bridesmaids that took their lamp and went out to see the bridegroom. Now, the bridegroom in this passage is Jesus, and the bridesmaids is the church, you and I, that come as one with the Lord. It's saying that the Lord is coming back. In another passage of the Bible, it says that in a twinkling of an eye, just blink your eyes, just go twink. In a twinkling of an eye, you're in the presence of the Lord. But the story goes like this: there were 10 bridesmaids. They took the lamp. They went out to see the bridegroom. There were 5 foolish bridesmaids. There were 5 wise bridesmaids. Now, the 5 foolish, they didn't prepare enough olive oil to burn their lamp. Now, the 5 wise, they brought more than enough. Now, because the bridegroom delayed in his return, the 5 or the 10 bridesmaids, they became dreary. They were waiting for Jesus to come back. The church, Christians, were waiting for Jesus to come back. And what happened is the bridesmaids became tired, dreary, and they fell asleep. Now, the Bible says this: at midnight, someone cried, "Hey! The bridegroom is here." And so the bridesmaids, they arose and they went out with their lamps to meet the bridegroom. However, the 5 foolish bridesmaids looked at the 5 wise bridesmaids and they said, "Please," they started begging. They started realizing the cost of not having enough oil. They said, "Please give us some of your oil." And the 5 bridesmaids says, "We don't have enough oil for all of you. Go down to the store and buy some more." But while they were gone, the bridegroom shows up. And he takes his bride, the bridesmaids, and he takes them in to enjoy the wedding feast. You know, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a massive feast. Like, no caloric punishment. Nobody's going to gain a pound. It's just eat all the meatballs, all the fried shrimp. Just eat it all. And so there's going to be this wedding feast. And the Lord says, "Hey, come sit down. I've prepared this for you." But when he shows up and he walks the wise bridesmaids in, the Bible says that he locks the door behind them. And so afterwards, last final verses, the bridesmaids, the 5 foolish, show back up. And they yell from the outside of the door, "Let us in." And the Lord yells back. He says, "Believe me, I do not know you." Now, the olive oil that burns the flame represents the Holy Spirit. It represents this heart and this passion towards the Lord. The lamp, you are the lamp. You're the lamp. But what happens is when you have this relationship with God, it's burning through you. So when people look into your eyes, there's something about strength that comes from you. When you talk to people, there's this uplifting. They just feel better being around you. There's something about you that makes them wonder where you get your strength from. Where you tell them, you got to come to church with me. If it weren't for God, I would be dead right now. Nod at me if you can say that. If it weren't for the Lord, put your hands together, I'd be dead right now. And so the story is unpacking the church. These are 10 Christians. But half of them, the passion within them, it went out. They didn't bring enough oil. They weren't to get through the tough times. They didn't bring enough oil for that. And so I want to talk about two major things. First, I want to talk about the wedding feast. I want to talk about that. And then I want to talk about the rehearsal dinner before the wedding feast. Now, the wedding feast is this moment in heaven that is only for the people that kept their fire burning. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, the Lord says, "Because you're neither hot, passionate for me, nor are you cold," you don't just ignore me, "you're warm. You're somewhere in the middle. And because of that, I'm going to spit you out." Let me back up for the front row. The people that are like, "I believe in you. I'm not passionate about you, but I do believe in you." You didn't bring enough oil to get through the season. You're not going to dine with me. You're going to stand out the door and you're going to go, "Jesus, let me know. I don't even know you." Who is he talking about? He's talking about people in the church. Originally, they showed up ready to go. All 10 of them brought oil. But only 5 of them were ready for the seasons to come. There are 3 different types of ways that the enemy comes in and says, "I'm going to put out, I'm going to snuff out, I'm going to pack it down, I'm going to put out that flame so that you never sit here." The first way is this discernment. I'm going to take the discernment out of your head. You're not going to be able to discern right and wrong. It's all going to blend together. In I think it's Isaiah 5:20, it says, "You will call what is right wrong, and what is wrong right. You will call what is black white, and what is white black. You'll call what is sweet bitter, and what is bitter sweet." This is the enemy seizing your discernment. He's got to put it out. Run. You didn't have enough oil to get through the discernment moment. Charles Spurgeon said this: "Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. Discernment is knowing the difference between what is almost right." Let me say that again. Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between what is almost right. I read this scenario where you kind of do this check of how you think. Imagine your cable TV. Imagine you stop getting billed. They're not billing you anymore. You still have cable TV, but they're not sending you a bill anymore. A couple months go by and they're still not sending you a bill. Now what do? Do you back up and say, well, thank you, Jesus. You took from the wicked and you gave it to the righteous. Thank you, Lord. I feel a season of increase in my life. What do? Or do you back up and go, well, clearly something's wrong here. I better call the cable company and say, hey, I think there's been a mistake. You haven't been charging me, but I've been getting free cable. But then again, it's not your fault. You don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they just decided, they looked at your file and they said, man, they have been giving thousands of dollars to us for a long time. Let's be gratuitous. You don't know what they were thinking. You didn't ask for it. It's just happened. What do? This is discernment. It's trying to figure, it's not right or wrong. It's what's almost right. Are you with me? Say yes. I read about this guy who had a dream, and there was a fence, and there was acres of land, and right down the middle there was a fence, and on this side of the fence, the grass was so green and bright, and there was flowers and dandelions, all this stuff. And now on this side of the fence, it was scorched, dead, dark, nothing. And in his dream, he knew that on this side of the fence, this is where the Holy Spirit rested. It hovered above the land. And on this side, he knew this was in control of the devil. And he also knew in his dream that it was decision time. Is he going to just say, God, it doesn't matter what I want. It just matters what you want. I'm here to live for you. Or does he go this way and say, hey, God, you're probably there, but I'm going to live like you don't exist. Like, what? He had to make a decision. He wasn't sure what he wanted to do. Like, I want to talk the way I want to talk, and I want to do what I want to do, but yet, I'll tell you what I'll do. And he crawls up on the fence. Sometimes, other times. And then all of a sudden, he finds out that the devil owns the fence. Stay away from the gray areas, because the devil lives in the gray areas. Do you have the discernment to know this is a gray area? It's gray. The devil owns the gray. And if he can get you to live in the gray, then you're not sitting at the wedding feast. You're in the other half. This is scary. Just think about this. What this parable is saying is that half of the church will not go to the wedding feast. The church, not people on the planet. All of you guys are going. But just for the sake of example, just example, y'all ain't going. Y'all, bad English, great theology. Y'all are. The people on your aisle, half are going, the other half aren't. Now look down your aisle and pick who's not. Go ahead. Half. It says this, I'm going to cause discernment. You're going to be in the five foolish. The other way he tries to keep us from the wedding feast, not just discernment, but temptation. You know it's right. You know it's wrong. Temptation makes you believe that if you do it, it's the solution, but it's actually what will kill you. I had somebody explain to me what it's like to be addicted to methamphetamines. I have no idea. And he says this. He goes, when you're trying to get clean and you're trying to break away, he goes, imagine a Ziploc bag being pulled over your head. And every time you breathe, the bag gets caught in your mouth. And then somebody comes along and they poke a hole in the bag and you're trying to breathe through the hole. He goes, that's what it's like. And now the temptation is, I'm hardly staying alive. I've got to go back and find my drugs. It feels like the drugs are the solution, but it's actually what will kill you. You think the solution is to give in on the temptation of ripping somebody, tearing somebody apart. You think that's the solution. It's what's going to kill you. The bitterness, if I'm full of bitterness and I just detach, that's the temptation. It's not going to make you better. It's going to kill you. Whatever the temptation is, and you know it's gray, you're kind of wrestling with it. It's not going to free you. It's going to kill you. The depression, if the enemy can get you to not be able to get through discouraging seasons, you don't have enough oil to get through a discouraging season. You love the Lord when things are great and you're always getting green lights. But when you're getting red lights and things aren't going well and you're discouraged, do you have enough oil? Is your relationship with the Lord close enough so that you can get through the season? Do you have enough oil for the discouraging seasons? If you don't, you fall into this, let me in. You have to have more than enough. Where you've already prayed, you've already been worshiping. You worship before the discouragement gets there. You already know it's coming. I was listening to this preacher preach, and he looks at this guy and he goes, I got a prophetic word for you. And he tells him what it is, and I'm sitting over there. And I heard him say it, and I was like, I think the prophet missed it. That prophetic word was not for that guy. It was for me. Yeah. And so I was like, well, maybe it's for that guy too, but it's for both of us. Yeah. And he gave this scenario. He says, when you're looking at track and field on the Olympics, and they're going to race one time around the track, the inside of the track is shorter than the outside of the track. And so they have to stagger the runners to make it even. Nod at me if you know what I'm talking about. So when the gun goes off, and you're looking at who you're pulling for. I want the United States to win. I'm pulling for the guy in the United States. But he's in the center of the pack. He's in lane number four. There's eight lanes. It looks like he's losing. But we all know how that race is set up. And so we don't panic. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for him to take the corner. Because once he takes the corner, the whole race changes. And the prophet looked out there, and I'm going to say it to you the way he said it. You don't know when you're going to take your corner. You don't know. You don't know. When all of a sudden your entire life changes, you just don't know. Ladies, when you found out you were pregnant, that was a surprising moment. Oh my gosh! Your whole life just changed. Men, when the lady walked up to you, hey, guess what? What? Are you listening? Yeah, I'm listening. I'm pregnant. Your whole life just changed. When you got a new job, your whole life changed. You got a raise, your whole life changed. I want to tell you, God changes your whole life in moments. But you don't know when that moment's going to happen. You just got to tell yourself, I haven't taken the curve yet. You don't let the enemy cause this relationship with the Lord to drift. You have to have enough oil, enough relationship with the Lord to get through the discouraging seasons. Are you with me? Say yes. Let me talk about the rehearsal dinner. See, the wedding feast, oh my goodness. Everybody's going to be there. And there's no time in heaven. This is a small rabbit trail. I'll come back. How many people have had a loved one pass away and you know they're in heaven? Now, it's going to be years for you and I, maybe even decades, that we have to wait to see them again. But they're not in time. There's no time for them. So the moment they walk into the pearly gates, they look to their right, and there you are. There's no time. It was a second for them. It would be apropos for them to be in their deathbed, and you're crying, I'm crying. And they look at you and they go, I'll see you in a second. Hey. And now, Adam and Eve. I don't know if they're going to be there or not. They'll be there. They got a lot of explaining to do, Lucy. When they walked into heaven, they looked to their right, and there you are. And so now here we all are at the same time walking into the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're all sitting down. Oh, my gosh. Not we're all, half of us. We're all sitting down, and this is the wedding. But then there's a meal before the wedding. It's called the rehearsal dinner. Now, the rehearsal dinner is not as grand as the wedding feast. I mean, it's the night before. When you wake up the next day and people are getting married and you're throwing salt, blowing bubbles and rice and eating wedding cake. That's the celebration, and then you go eat and it's fun and But the night before is fun too. It's just not quite as fun. It's exciting, it's joyful, it's not anything like the next morning. But you're not thinking about work on Monday. Monday will take care of Monday. Monday's problems will be taken care of on Monday. What are you doing? You are amongst family and friends. You're laughing. You're at perfect peace. We, right now, are in the rehearsal dinner. And those who have brought enough oil to get through discouragement, to get through temptation, there is a kind of peace that we're supposed to experience right now. Enough oil to get through it. Now, there will be times where the temptation, it just got you. You know what? I blew it. That's why I love the Lord so much. He knew you and I were going to do that. He looked ahead and goes, Frankie's coming. He knew we were going to do that. We weren't going to bat 1,000. And so that's why he made sure that in black and white, so we couldn't miss it. 1 John 1:9. If you confess with your mouth your sins, I will be faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So it's those moments where you go, I'm sorry. Like it never happened. It never happened. None of us are perfect. Can you remember every year of our life? Don't take it perfect. Every day of our life, we've committed sins. We have told the Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Thousands of times. Can you remember when you asked the Lord to forgive you? When you were 14. Can you remember? Because you asked hundreds of times. Can you remember any of them? You can't remember them. That was years, decades ago. But you can't remember them because of time. God's not in time. He couldn't remember it the minute you said it. So the enemy, you just tell him, no, I got to keep this fire burning. Last thought. My wife she means everything to me. She's my best friend. Every single night I get in the bed and I say, at the end of the day, baby, it's just you and me. I'll meet you right here this time tomorrow. And I get back in bed. At the end of the day, I'll meet you right here. This is our meeting point. And it's interesting because when I talk to her, and some of you aren't married, but you get this. When you talk to a person, you want them to look at you. Because if they're looking at you, they're listening and you're connected. So oftentimes when we're in the living room and I'm watching a sporting game, sports, she'll start talking to me. And so I'm still looking at the TV. My face is in the direction of the TV. She's talking. And she'll say to me, are you listening? Notice she doesn't say, why aren't you looking at me? She's saying, are you listening to me? Because she knows what I'm looking at and where my attention is what I'm listening to. And she wants my face to be turned towards her. I want you to know that this rehearsal dinner, the intimacy that I'm talking about, it's not going to be good, as good as the the feast. But you sense it and you feel it when you turn your face towards the Lord and talk to Him. Let's do that together now. Let's all stand to our feet. If you would you just put both hands out to the Lord? You know, in 1 Timothy 2:8, it says, every time you come into the house of the Lord, raise your hands up into Him. And if you read the Psalms, raising their hands all throughout the Bible, it's Lord, I love you. Now, this is just me. You can adopt it if you want to. You don't have to. This isn't biblical. This is just me. When I raise my hands, it's in a reflection of whatever I'm thinking at that moment and whatever I'm desiring at that moment. And so if I'm worshiping and I'm praising Him, my palms are kind of like, you know, I'm giving you something. But when I need the Lord to bless me, I need to receive something. And so I just, if you'd indulge me, just put your hands out like this, like you're going to receive something. Now, one of the ways the enemy tries to snuff out that flame or take the oil or keep us from being passionate about God is like a Ziploc bag. He seals your lips so you don't talk to Him. He could really care less if you come to church or not. You open your mouth and say something to the Lord, He trembles and runs. And so what I want you to do is, some of you in this room are like, this message, it resonated with me. And I want my heart to be on fire for the Lord. And if there's anything in your life that you need Him to do for you, this is the time to do it. So put your hands out like this, and I just want you to just talk to Him for a moment. And if you want to repeat the same sentences over and over again, that's okay. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here this morning. Would you right now just bless your people? Everyone, look at me for a minute. I've been to Brazil more than a few times, maybe 3 times. And I started doing something in Brazil that I took home, and I do it to this day. You see, when someone gets healed, or let's say a person is demonically oppressed and the Lord frees them, the Bible says in Matthew 12:43 that they leave and they start searching for another place to go. And so after these services, what we all do is we say, Lord, I don't know where those spirits went, but I know they're angry. And if they've tried to circle around to land on me and torment me for what we just did, we're brushing them off now in your name. And what we do is we just start physically brushing them off. We just go, in Jesus' name. And I got to tell you, I did that this morning. I don't know. I got here at the crack of dawn. And I just started feeling this, like, heaviness. And I went, in Jesus' name. And then I just, you know, the enemy will torment our mind. And so as a step of faith, I just go, and I start doing this in Jesus' name. And after that brush off, I can feel the Lord is, he rescued the moment. And so I want you to do that. I just want you to brush your shoulders and say in Jesus' name and just breathe out, leave my thoughts. Go ahead. Just keep doing it in Jesus' name. Just breathe out like three times. Just go. Now, go like this. Smile at me if you can. You just tell something. I don't know what happened, but I feel better right now. I don't know what just happened, but I just. Come on, put your hands together for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You start feeling guilty in the middle of the week, leave my mind. On the third breath, you're going to leave my mind. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I don't know what you angels just did, but it worked. Prayer partners, why don't you come on up here, if you would. Just come right down here. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whatever you get ready. But some of you, you just need someone to pray for you. I just need someone to pray for me. That's where I'm at. Some of you, you know if your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, you're not ready to see the Lord. And there's a side of this message that scared you because you think you might be in the five foolish virgin side because you're just cold as ice. Or you're, here's the word, indifferent. You're just indifferent. You're not cold, you're not hot, you believe in the Lord, but you're just indifferent. And in case I'm rattling your theology, you're like, Frankie, I just don't believe that, I'm sorry. Don't build your theology on what you believe. Build your theology on the scriptures. And the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. If you continue to sin flagrantly after you've come to the knowledge of grace, there remains no more sacrifice for your sins. You say, well, the devil cannot, no one can pluck me out of the hand of the Lord. 100%. Those wise virgins, those wise bridesmaids, people who don't continue to sin flagrantly, no. Can't nothing. But if you've built a theology that says, those are some scary dice to roll. There's people down here that want to pray with you. Why don't you come out of your seat and pray with someone? There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready, but let me pray for you. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.